carry on. I was going to talk last week. I was kind of talking about to know the time that we're in, and I was kind of talking about a little bit about lawlessness, right? Certain things have to happen, so we have to have a biblical view. When I was in, when I did my, with YWAM, did my DTS, and so we would have the worldview and a biblical worldview. So what lens do we see what is happening today? Do we see through a lens of, through the world, worldly lens, or do we see it through a biblical lens? Because I know I've been, and I shared this with a few people, it's like, how do we see? Sometimes our view kind of dictates if it's urgent or we should get moving or just hold off. How is our view? So like pre-trip, is your biblical view pre-trip, mid-trip, or post-trip? Because if we, doesn't matter, it's not a salvational issue. Like we'll get that out of the way. It's not a salvational issue. Either one you believe. But believing either pre, mid, or post will dictate how you will see through what lens through the Bible. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Right? So pre-trip, we don't... Pre-trip, I believe pre-trip. And so you might not agree with pre-trip. That's fine. My mentor, he is not pre-trip. He's mid. We don't disagree. We respect one another. So for me, for pre, I know that I need to be prepared and I need to be doing what God has called me to do. Mid, you kind of, you know, when the church is taken away, then you know 3.5 years later, things were, you know, that's when you get taken away. And post, you go through tribulation so that you could just coast along the whole thing so you don't have that urgency. So as we look at this world, it seems to be falling apart. We would agree on that. It's not getting any better. And it's not going to get any better.
No.
Right? It will not get any better. Because God's word is always true. And sometimes there's bad times. And those times I think God is testing his children. Those who has given their lives to Christ. Because not everybody is a child of God. Universalism is a lie, so not everybody gets to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven, and one way for salvation, that's through Jesus Christ. Right? So as we continue to read and meditate, and continue to trust in Christ, our perspective will line up to a biblical view. Our Heavenly Father prepares and encourages us, his children, through his prophetic word. A third of the Bible is prophetic. And he's preparing us as we read and meditate on his word. He's preparing us. He's allowing us to grow deep and be well rooted in his word. So when things get worse, we're not shaken. Because our eyes are fixed on him. But we don't just say, Lord, come, and I want things to get worse, but we need to be doing what God has called us to do. And that is to share the gospel with the unsaved. Be doing what he has called us. Meanwhile, we have our eyes looking to heaven and in the clouds waiting for him, but we also have a task that he's prepared us to do. Right? We cannot stop doing what God has told us to do. And that's to share the gospel, to love those people, to pray for those people, to see people healed. You know, it just, he's called us to do a lot. So Elijah's going to read Luke 21, verse 25 to 28. So he's here. Okay, ready?
Yep.
Okay.
And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, which perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen. So we see things happening. And he says, keep your eyes, when these things start happening, keep your eyes looking to the cloud. Pre-trip, we meet Jesus in the air. Second coming, so when we meet him in the cloud, that's not his second coming. That is when we meet him in the air. Second coming is when he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives. Right? That is the second coming. So we're told that we need to understand the time and season. So how do we know the time and season that we are in? One is to read the Word of God. Another one is to be meditating on His Word and asking the Holy Spirit to help you and equip you and to give you the strength and the wisdom that you need for each day. In Acts 17, 24, so in Acts 17, 24, it says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples, but built by human hands. He is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives life, gives everyone life and breath and everything else. So it is God that gives us everything that we need. So we're coming to a place where we're going to have to depend on him more. And as we, and sometimes it's hard to depend on him more because we are very self-sufficient at times. We think we are. And then we get frustrated. We throw tantrums when things don't go right. We're all that way, right? But he's teaching us through difficult times to actually lean on him and to rely on him and not on our own self, because that's depressing. Verse 26, it says, From one man he made all nations, and that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times. So he's marked out the appointed times. God appoints times. You're not here by chance. You're not here because of whatever. It's appointed time that you are here and that we live in this time. Isn't that something? God appointed you to live in this time, in this country, in this place, to be here. It's his time, appointed time. And the boundaries of their lands. So 27, God did this so that, this is why he did it. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far, he's not far away from us. He's actually here with us. He lives within us, those who are his children. The Bible mentions that God determined our pre-appointed times. For in him we live and move and we have our being, we have our life. Are we yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit? We did the 8 weeks. Was it 8 weeks? 6 weeks of hearing God's voice. Practicing of hearing God's voice. Because he desires to give us a personal word of encouragement every day. He wants us to trust him. In Daniel 2, Daniel 2, verse 19. You know, this was when Daniel was seeking the Lord, because King Nebuchadnezzar was asking him, what does this dream mean? What does this mean? He was perplexed. He didn't know what was happening. And so in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 19, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel was seeking God. He was asking him, Lord, give me favor. Help me to share with the king what the dream was all about. So Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for his wisdom and might are his. Verse 21 says, and he changes the times and the season. God changes the times in the season. We see today the times and season have changed dramatically in the last especially in the last 4 months, then six, and then, you know, within the last 12. I have never thought it would be like this. Not my wildest dreams. We see how God is, the process is being sped up, right? It's getting quicker. I hate to see what happens in November. I don't know, I'm a little bit excited, but I don't know, but on the same note, as Kareen shared, for those who do not know Christ, we have friends that don't know Christ. I got loved ones. I got family that are in different religions. I don't want them to perish. So we continue to pray for them. So he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Verse 22, he reveals deep and secret things. He reveals things. Things that we don't know about. Not secret things doesn't go contrary to his word. Right? So be careful of some people that are says, God, give me this revelation. Has to line up to the word of God. He knows what is in the darkness. God knows what's in the darkness. And the light dwells with him. God is light. You think how dark this world is, how darker it is getting? We are supposed to be the light of Christ. We're supposed to allow the life of Christ to manifest through us. We're supposed to be the salt and the light, right? To be with the people and influencing them and sharing the gospel with them through our words and our actions and how our lives reflect Christ. Since God ordained the times and seasons and changes them, then it benefits us to find out from him what season we are living in and what we ought to do during that season. We're in a different season. We're in the fall season. So we know in 2 Timothy, I have a lot of scriptures. So 2 Timothy 3:1 says this. I touched on this last week. And my wife's like, what was the whole point of the message last week? And I said, honey, to show us and prepare us for what is happening. We see Bible prophecy coming, being fulfilled. We are seeing this. 3:1 says, 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but know this, in the last days, I can't even say the word today, perilous times will come. So we know by the word of God, in the last days, these times, perilous times will happen. So what is it? Because some people say, well, these have been throughout the whole time of mankind. You know, we see bad times. But that was just in one area. Right? It's only been isolated to a nation or that. But we see it globally now. Globally, this is happening. So we see more and more of the society as a whole being divided. That's true. Globally, there is division. People mistrust their governments. You see rioting in Australia. You see rioting in London because they have the green card. And over 1 million some people are rioting against that card. So you see how there's mistrust. You see in France, you see in through Afghanistan, Iran, so many different countries that are, the nations are falling apart. Jordan's about to fall apart. Lebanon is falling apart. We see how the world is getting worse. And then you see the Bitcoin is going to be the new currency. Money is going to be eventually gone. But the church won't be here during that time, because that's going to happen in tribulation. During the tribulation time, one government will reign. That happens through the tribulation time. We see the world becoming more and more treacherous. Lawlessness is becoming more the norm. What was once sinful is now embraced more and more. We see how holiness and righteousness is becoming more seen by the majority unloving. And we're bigots, we're closed-minded. But we're supposed to keep true to what the Word of God says. We're not supposed to compromise what the Word of God says. We're supposed to continue to do what God has called us to do. So there's many promises given from our Heavenly Father to us. And we know He is faithful. So knowing that He keeps all His promises. Do we believe that God keeps His promises? Right? Because if He breaks a promise, He's no longer God. And then we will not have any assurance. So in Romans 1, verse 16 and 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then also to the Greek. Notice the replacement theology goes out the door there. Don't believe in the replacement theology. The church has not replaced the Jewish people. It's always been the Jew first. Because if the church has replaced the church on the Jews, then God has broken a promise. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith to faith, as is written, the just will live by faith. So we live by faith. We live by what the Word of God says. He is preparing His children for the times that we are going to be facing. Nowhere in the Bible says once you become a believer, you're going to coast and have easy street. He says you're going to be persecuted. People are going to be coming against you because we are holding fast to our Lord and Savior. We will be persecuted for our faith. We're going to be mocked because of our faith. But he says, you know what? What's the greatest treasure? It's Christ. He's our greatest treasure. This is why we stay true, because he redeemed us. He's brought us out of darkness and brought us into his light. He's given us hope, assurance, peace, joy. Even though we face difficulties, he gives us that during those difficulties. He carries us through as we trust him, lean on him. So if we want to know and experience the joy of the Lord, we must abide in Christ personally. Lord, help me to remain true to your word, no matter what comes my way. Here's a quote. Faith always works in a personal way because of the purpose of the Father is to see the perfection or to perfect faith in his children. He wants to see what we do when we face persecution. It's easy to say that I will follow the Lord when it's easy street. It's another thing when we face something. Are we still going to remain true to our Lord and Savior? And he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us, to give us boldness so we can face whatever we face. Look at the apostles. Before Pentecost, they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. And they said, Peter said, oh Lord, I will never say this. I will never deny you. But the Lord knows our hearts. God is always faithful. Even though at times when we're not faithful, he is always faithful. But after Pentecost, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. So all the church, all those who had their faith in Christ were given the Holy Spirit to live. And look at the boldness they had. 3,000 people come to repentance in one day. He's teaching repentance, not a watered-down word of God, the truth of God. Hebrews 10:23-25 says, let us hold, so Hebrews 10:23-25 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. What's our confession of our hope? Jesus. Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Without wavering. Holding fast to Christ. For he who promised is faithful. Christ is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and such more, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We are to gather together, to encourage one another in the faith, to pray for one another. If people are in the church are maybe feeling wearied or burdened, we come together and fellowship and to encourage one another, to help one another. The rapture, this I think sometimes we don't like talking about the rapture because we've always heard this. The rapture is going to happen soon. The rapture is going to happen soon. So when we talk to friends that this is what's going to happen, we don't know that when the rapture is going to happen. And so a lot of people, when they hear, they start mocking it. Even people within the church are mocking the rapture because they don't like talking about the rapture. They think it's the most ridiculous event that's going to happen. But it's the most misunderstood event for the believer. Jesus is coming for his bride. We, the believers in Jesus, are the bride of Christ. Jesus is preparing for us a place for us, and will only come when the Father sends him. Jesus will, We will meet Jesus in the air. Because we read that already in Luke 21. And also 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, God's voice." He's going to call the dead in Christ first. Then the ones who are not asleep will rise up and meet him in the air. In that twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, "For the trumpet will sound, the dead will rise, be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed." That's when we become perfect. The bride of Christ is caught up to meet the groom, Jesus. John 14, 1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Is our hearts troubled today? "You believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus is speaking. Don't believe in me. I'll put that little there. But Jesus is speaking. "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, the way you know." So John 14, 17 says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." So the Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. "Whom the world cannot receive, because they never surrendered, never bowed their knee, never confessed with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, never repented of their sins. They never believed who Jesus says he is." So they cannot receive him because neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. His children know him. "For he dwells in you, with you, in you. He lives within us." Verse 18, this is a promise. He says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." He will not leave us nor forsake us. Because see that. He comes for we're his children. He's never going to forsake us, his children. That's a promise from God. 2 Peter 3:3-6 says, "Knowing this first, the scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, having and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this, they willfully forget. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth stand out of the waters, in the waters, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." You think about Noah, a righteous man. They never knew about rain. They never knew about floods, because it never rained during that time. There's always springs, dew, the grass, everything is flourished. And so when he was a righteous man in a corrupt world, and nobody believed him. They had the ark being built. It took a long time to build that ark. God provided everything. Noah was obedient. And the door was open, and God closed that door. There's opportunity for people to still come to know Christ. people could have been saved, but in their arrogance, in their haughtiness, in their own self-righteousness, they didn't want to come to Christ. They didn't want to be saved. Think about that today. A lot of people don't want anything to do with the church. Jude 17. There's only one chapter in Jude. So Jude, verse 17 to 21 says, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there will be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. We see that. We see people walking like that. We see these sensational persons who cause divisions. We see that even sometimes in the church. How people cause divisions within the church. This morning I talked about 2 Chronicles 5. How God, when there's unity in the body, he manifests. So when these mockers trying to divide the church, and the church goes for the line, hook, line, and sinker, and the division happens, that's what breaks my heart. So these mockers cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So there are people without hope, have doubts, and they are envy of the hope that we believers have. That's why they mock you. Because they see the hope that you have, the convictions that you have, the peace that you have, the joy that you have, the confidence. We have confidence because we know where we go after this world gets in the toilet. We meet Christ in the air, and we sit at the table with him, and we feast with him for 7 years. First Thessalonians 4:16. So this kind of goes with also 1 Corinthians 15 and also Luke 21. So 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a shout." That's the trumpet. "He will shout with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." He comes. He takes us out of the tribulation. Because that's when he judges the world. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 2 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says in later times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies, and they become hypocrites, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. They will turn their back on the word of God. They will be given in to deception." 2 Peter, this is pretty much my last scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2. "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you." We are supposed to see the fruit. We're supposed to judge people by their fruit. Not everybody who says they're a Christian is a Christian. Not everybody who says they're a prophet is a prophet. We have to be careful who we listen to, who we follow. Be like a Berean and check them out. There's a lot of different doctrines out there that lead people away from the Lord. So be very cautious who you listen to. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Man, I could list off on a lot of preachers. And people are just following them because it's makes them feel warm and fuzzy. So who are secretly bringing in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves a swift destruction. And many will follow their own destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. And by consciousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has been idle, and the destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned and cast them down to hell and delivered, that's a whole different teaching. There is some angels that have already been judged, and the rest of the angels have not. That's a different teaching. And delivered them into chains of darkness to reserve for judgment. He did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world of the ungodly, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example, those who afterward will live ungodly. Verse 7, but he delivered righteous Lot. And I think about Lot. He lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was a righteous man. Yet he lived in such a place, and God saved him before he brought destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah. For that righteous man dwelt among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Man, we hear that every day. It's going to get worse. But he still lived, and he still followed the Lord. The Lord then took him out of there, and his family. And his wife turned back. When the Lord brings you out of something, do not go back into it. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust on punishment for the day of judgment. We see how the world and some churches are moving away from God's precepts. We see the moral decay, going by feelings. Never go by your feelings. Never say, this is how I feel today. But what does the Word of God say? Our minds and our decisions are affected by how we feel. But what does the Word of God say? The Word of God does not change. It's always the same. It's always faithful. It's always true. And it should be what we look at. Lord, am I doing what you have asked me to do? If not, repent. First Thessalonians 2 says, now brethren, 2 Thessalonians 2, Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by the Spirit or by the word or by the letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. There has to be a falling away. The Word of God says there has to be a falling away that has to come first. There is a time and a season. As we learn the Word of God and study the Word of God, we see things have to happen. There has to be a falling away first. The man of sin is revealed. The son who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Is to worship, so that he sits at as this is in the tribulation. This is in Revelation. This is during the after 3.5 years of tribulation. This is now talking about. When the church is taken away, then the Antichrist is revealed. This is what has to happen. The church has to be taken away. And then the Antichrist is revealed, and he sets up, and he becomes the world power, the world leader. Then he brings in a false peace, and he allows Israel to build a temple, the third temple. And for 3.5 years, he allows them to do their sacrifices. And then after 3.5 years, in verse 4, it talks about he who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and or is to worship. So then the Antichrist will sit at God's temple, and he proclaimed that he is God. That's in Revelation. It talks about that after 3.5 years, he will make himself as God and sit, and that's when the Israelites depart. So we're not there yet, and we won't see that. But this is what's going to come. So the Lord Jesus gathers his bride. He asks us not to be shaken in our mind or troubled. He asks us to keep our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. There needs to be a falling away. In Romans 11:25, it says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." He doesn't want us to be ignorant of this mystery. He wants us to be digging in his word. He doesn't want us to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. My opinion doesn't matter. Sometimes we have our own opinions, but what does the Word of God say? That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles has come in. This has to be another fulfillment. There is a fulfillment of Gentiles. We are Gentiles. Then judgment comes onto Israel. That's what really the tribulation is all about, is for Israel to repent and come to know Christ. That's what tribulation is all about. It's about the Jewish people repenting and coming to Christ. 2 Peter 2:6 says, For now you know what is restraining. So 2 Peter 2:6. For now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. It's already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. What's the restraining force? The Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit takes the church, the restraining force is gone. That's when the Antichrist comes. The church cannot be here when the Antichrist is here. Scripture says that. Revelation 11, 25. We cannot be here. Because he, once the restrainer removes and we are taken away, then the lawless one will be revealed. That's the Antichrist. Whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his own mouth. So the Lord will consume him. We know his end. We know what happens. But the church has to be removed. The Holy Spirit is gone. He removes. And so the Antichrist is revealed. This is our confidence, assurance until we meet the Lord Jesus face to face in the clouds. We will see him face to face. I will see him face to face when he takes me up. But when he returns, I don't want to see his face. I want to see the back of his head. Because if I see him when he comes back for the second coming, that means I was never saved. I want to see the back of his head because we will be riding in wearing white linen, riding on a horse following him. And we see him defeating the armies. We will see him defeating Satan. Well, put Satan in his place for 1,000 years. So then that's another one too. The millennium kingdom for 1,000 years, and that's another thing that just blows me away. The millennium kingdom, that we will rule with Christ for 1,000 years. Isaiah, I promise this is my last one. Isaiah 32, 17 says, the work of righteousness will be peace. So Isaiah 32, 17, the work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. This is the effects, right? Righteousness will give us peace. And the effects of righteousness will give us quietness and assurance forever. Our hope is God. Our hope is God. He is faithful. He is always on time. God never breaks a promise, always fulfills his promise. God gives us his strength, wisdom, boldness, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. Be prepared. Be looking up. Be patient. Continue to be faithful to our Lord Jesus. Don't worry about the mockers or listen to their doubts. However, pray for them and be faithful to the Word of God. Amen. Let's be encouraged. I love Isaiah 32, 17. Just take all of that. Sorry, I'll shut up. So, Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, let us continue to do what you have called us to do. Lord, let us not be caught up in things that don't matter. But Lord, that we be faithful to what you have called us to do. Lord, let us keep our eyes fixed on you. Lord, let us have hearts for the lost. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would desire to see our family members to be saved. They would come to the salvation. They would come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. They would bend their knee now and repent of their ways and confess with their mouth that, Lord, that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. So, Lord, put in a heart desire in us to see people being saved. Lord, let us have this urgency to be your salt and light. Lord, let us not take for granted the time and the season that we're in, but Lord, let us be doing what you have called us to do. Let us be obedient to your word, not just hearers, but doers of your word. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us. Give us the confidence, the wisdom that we need, and just to be able to know how to handle every situation that we face every day. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that your grace is abundant and you're merciful, and you're always faithful, even though at times we are not faithful to you. So, Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness, and I pray, Lord, that I pray for a hedge of protection over our minds and over our hearts. Lord, that we would not hear any other voice, but we only hear your voice. Lord, that you would put guardian angels around us. And Lord, we would even put on the full armor of God to stand and to withstand the schemes of the enemy. And for Lord, let us be confident, knowing that you are the God who keeps his promises, that you're a God who's always faithful, that you're a God that is on time. You're never late, you're never early, but you're always on time. So Lord, help us and guide us, and I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Kyle, could we lift the unit up?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So there is a few people that are losing their jobs within this congregation soon. So they have a couple months before they have to get fully vaxxed. Or if they don't, they lose their job. So Enid is one. There is a couple of nurses so there is a lot of people within this area that are losing their jobs in a couple of months. And so, Lord, I pray for Enid. And Lord, I pray for whoever else, the other doctors and nurses that we know of that are given this ultimatum. So, Lord, I pray that they would not compromise your word, or they would not compromise their stance and where you have placed them to be, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that you put your hedge of protection around Enid and the other physicians, Father, that are taking a stand. So, Lord, thank you. As you and Daniel, Lord, they even said, when Daniel made, I will not cross this line, and Lord, how you bless Daniel. So, Lord, I'm praying as they take a stand against the scheme of the enemy and saying, I'm going to not do this because it goes against my conscience. It goes against what I have already prepared in my heart not to do. So Lord, I pray that you would give them favor and encouragement, and that Lord, that you would open new doors for them. Even Father, that they would see your hand move, even if it's going to be in a different field. Lord, that you would open doors for them because of their faithfulness to take a stand and not bow their knee to what man says has to do. Be done. So Lord, help them and encourage them. Prepare their families, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you are already going before them and that you're preparing a new way for them. So Lord, thank you that they're taking this stand. Thank you that you're already encouraging them and their whole families.
Jesus be the center of your church. Jesus be the center of your church. This church, Lord. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you. This church.